Kisova is a, always feel Kisova is a sort of a bittersweet experience. On the one hand, it's an unbelievable parsha. The things are coming to a head. The final, the Chumash, Breishis, Shmois, Yichud, Midbar, Devarim, it's coming to the climax. Where finally, Vagabah Moshe Vakoyim Aviv Kol Yisroel Lema Haskeis Shema Yisroel Hayoyim Azeh Niyeh Selam Lashem Elakecha. Everything was working towards this moment when we would finally and formally become an Am to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Bris and the Nitzavim and Vayelech Estutzach up. It's a very exciting passion, the various Chalokim of this passion. Each one is a whole book on its own. So it's really a very exciting parsha, but on the other hand, like I say, it's a bittersweet story. It could have been so much different. It should have happened 40 years before, and there shouldn't have been any mocha for the Teichocha. You know, the Ramban learns that the Teichocha in the Chukosha is the Chubin Bais Rishon, the Teichocha in Hirkisova is Chubin Bais Sheni. It all needn't have been. It could have been so much different. But we made mistakes. We made mistakes. All along we made mistakes. You wonder why it is that way, that there's so many wonderful, wonderful things about Klal Yisrael. And Afal Pi Chein, even in the matzav of the midbar with the man and the be'er and the Moshe Rabbein, astutzach up, and we made these terrible mistakes with the egel and the meraglim. It's a bittersweet. We're almost at the peak, Kviyochel. I guess that's Hazinu, that's Abrochem. But it's, like I say, a bittersweet celebration. It's wonderful, but it's wonderful with the knowledge that it could have been different. That's some of the way I feel when we get to Pasha's Kisovai. It's a difficult Pasha to live through, to live with. Nakuda over here, which I think needs a little bit of an elaboration. We have over here in Kisova, that's in Chamishi, the address is Chof Zayin, Posuk Yud Aleph, Vaitzav Moshe Esa'om, Bayoyma Hulema, Elu Yamdu Levorech Esa'om, Al Ha Grizim, Ovrechem Esayaden, Shimon, Velevi, Yehuda, Yisocha, Yosef, Binyamin, Ve'eli Yamdor Aklolo Ba'eval, Ruben, God, Osher, Zvulun, Don, Naphtali, Ve'onu Halvim, Ve'omu Al-Kol Yish Yisrael, Kol Ram, Oro Ha'ish, and so on and so forth. We know the Pasha. Rashi, in Posuk Yud Beis, brings the Gemara, Levorech Esa'om, Kedi'isa, B'masecha Soiter, Shisha Shvotim Olu L'Rosh HaGrizim V'Shisha L'Rosh Har Eval V'HaKoronim V'HaLeviim V'HaOron L'Mato B'Emtso Hofru Leviim Pneim Klape HaGrizim U'Poslu B'Brocho Boruch Ho'ish Asher Lo Yaseh Fesel U'Masecho V'Eilu V'Eilu Oynin Omein Chozru V'Hofru Pneim Klape HaEval U'Poslu B'Klolo V'Oymrim Oro Ho'ish Asher Yaseh Pesel, and so on and so forth. So we all know that, we all learned it as children in Chumash, so we know more or less what had happened over here. There's a shaila, I don't know, I don't see in the Mikros Gedolos that anybody raises it. I didn't look that hard. But why does it only say the Klolos and not the Brachos? Yeah, it says Beferish that Eilu Yamdu Levorech Hasam. So we know that the six Shvatim, they were the Levorech Esa'om, however that means in this context. And we know that that's Taka what happened. That's what the Gemara in Saita says. Shisha Shvatim Olu L'Rosh HaGrizim V'Shisha L'Rosh Eval, and so on and so forth. Hofu Leviim Peneim Klape HaGrizim V'Poslu V'Brocho. Why is that not mentioned in the Torah? The only thing that mentions in the Torah is the Klolos. Why doesn't it mention the brachas? I think it's a problem. It weighs heavily if we think about it. I happened to stumble across that the Sfas Emes here in Kisova asks the Shaila. I'll read the Sfas Emes to you. It's a small piece, and it's interesting because if you know the Sfas Emes a little bit, you'll see that on each Pasha, it's several years. What did he say? This year, this year, this year, this year, this year. By the way, for those of you who want to look at it, this is all the way towards the end of Kisova in the year Tov Resh Nun Beis, the first paragraph in that series. So if you look at the Sfas Emes, you see that year after year after year after year, he always comes back to the same Yesodos and elaborates on them. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful, wonderful sefer. But the actual topics which he deals with tend to repeat themselves as the years go by. As far as I could see, this particular paragraph, I don't think that there's anywhere else in Kisova where it says the same Yesod. In other words, this stands alone as far as I can see. It's a lot to look through, and I may well have missed something. But as far as I could see, this is the only place where he discusses this particular thing. What does he say? I'll read it to you. Be'inyan ha-brochos shiloy nizkeru. It's a problem. Why are the brochas not mentioned? Beferus, ya demshon nizkeru beferus. V'chazal omru ki kolu arurim hitzchilu bebrocha. That's the Rashi which we read before. So why is that so? Zog de helik es fas emes. Nire ki ha-brochas heim me'alma de iskasya. He says the brochas are, they come, they're places, I don't know how to translate these things. Heim me'alma de iskasya. They come from the world that is covered. That means from the upper spheres. V'kach kosov, yitzav Hashem lakecho lecho, es ha-brocha be'asomecho. Asomecho really means your silos, whatever it's called. But it hints as, b'dova ha-somoy min ha-ayin, that the brocha comes to you from a place that is somoy min ha-ayin. That is what be'asomecho hints at, which means from the upper spheres. And we've had this before, we've talked about it in various contexts, that what happens in the upper spheres tends not to be what the Torah talks about. If you remember, we quoted the Maral by the Naros of the Bas Paroi. Why doesn't it say that they were Hoychos L'Misa? So the Maral says, because it wasn't a physical Misa, it was a Ruchnistike Misa. And those things the Torah doesn't mention. Other places where we see, if you remember a shiur which I said recently, I think this year, we were talking about why the Nisim and the Yam, the 250 Makas of the Yam, why aren't they mentioned? It's only a Remes, Sheberemes, or the Bizas HaYam, only Beremes. So we also learned that what happened by Kriyas Yamsuf, like that was a Shrik Olam Habod during the Nes. That's why you needed the walls, Amayim Lehem Cholmam Yimimam Mismalam, to separate it from the rest of the world. Here there was a chunk of Olam Haba happening down here. So the Olam Haba things, the area with which the Torah deals is Olam Hazeh. I think that's why the Maral says in the Chiddush HaGadol, I think in Menachos somewhere on there. So he explains why Olam Haba is not mentioned in the Torah. The Torah mentions the rewards in Olam Hazeh, but not the rewards in Olam Haba. Why? Because Olam Haba is a different sugya, and the Torah deals with the sugya Olam Hazeh. So that is, I think, what the Sfas Emes is saying. Ki abrochos heim me'almo de iskasya, the world that is covered. Yeah, v'kach kosov yitzav Hashem elokei rochos abrocho be'asomecho. That means bedova hasmuyo min ha'ayin, but that's true, of course. V'haklal ki ike brocho hamiyuchedes levnei Yisrael hu b'olam haba. Brochos have their genesis. Brochos come from what happens in Olam Haba. V'ha'einshem v'ha'klolois levnei Yisrael heim rak b'olam hazeh b'gashmias v'loi b'tnimias. No, so then how do we ever get blessed by the brochos? Ochein k'shevnei Yisrael zakon Zeichen le kabel be oilam haze gamken ham shocho me oilam ho elyon. Oh, so the Yidden, when they're good and when they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, they are keilu, suddenly a part of the oilam ha elyonim. Le kabel be oilam haze gamken ham shocho me oilam ho elyon. they really belong to the Olam Elyon. We remember that from the deal that Yaakov and Esav made in the womb of Rivka, that Yaakov gets the Olam Habo, Esav gets the Olam Hazeh. We're strangers in Olam Hazeh. So the Klolos, no, so we're strangers, but they, you know, when there's an earthquake where you're a stranger, so you also get it. But the brochures of Olam Hazeh is not really what we're dealing with. The brochures of Olam is the brochures, the emes of brochures in Olam Haba. Now, then, if we're zoich in Olam Hazeh, so we get the shaychus to those brochures, and I guess that they are loivish, the tzura of what is matim to Olam Hazeh. We'll see in a moment. Oh, so kosher on the son Hashem lakecha elyon, achakak sevu vo lecha habrochos v'hisigucha. Wow, this has emes is such a unbelievable zach. So, because after this story of Hagrizim and Ha'evod, we've listed all the ceremony of the Levim and so on and so forth. So then in Perek Chofres, V'hoyim Shemoy Atishma V'koil Hashem Elokecho Lishmo Elas Ezkola Mitzvah Sov Asher Noichim Utsavucho Hayoyim Unesoncho Hashem Elokecho Elyon Al Kol Goye Ha'ogetz. You're going to be Elyon. Uvau olecho kalabrochus ha'ela v'hesigucho rabbeisa. It's myodek what the Sas Emes saw in this pasuk. See, what's going to happen now is that there's a whole list of brochus. Baruch atah ba'ir, baruch atah b'sarah, ganz a pasha, brochus, 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 until you get to the techocha. But holds a bunch of brochus. So we just now skip the brochus. So what are they doing over here? If I understand the Sas Emes correctly, is what he's saying is, you're right, the brochas be'etzem belong in Olam Haba. That means that which caused these brochas to come into existence. That's an Olam Ha'elyon Dikapasha. And that's what happens up there. Still, if we're Zoicha, so that Hashpo travels down to us in Olam Hazeh. What we saw just now is that, in other words, the brachos which deal in Olam Haba, where the Ikka is, and deal with Inyonim, one supposes, which we have no shaykhs to at all in our Olam Hazeh. But, if Yidin are Zoicha, so they get a shaykhs to those brachos. But how do they get that shaykhs? In a way which is, makes sense to govern them, like the Pasha over here in Perikov Ches. Yeah, so, Borcha Toba Ir, Borcha Toba Sod, and so on and so forth. Oh, but how does it come there? Zog the Sas Emes, the way he's medayik those psukim, it boggles the mind. What does it say again? Im Shemoya Tishma b'koil Hashem Elokecha Lishma las Zizkol mitzvah Yisav Hashanosh Mitzavcho Hayoyim Unesoncho Hashem Elokecha Elyoin Al Kol Gaya Horetz. If you're going to act the way you're supposed to act, you're going to be what you really are. What are you really? You are somebody who belongs to the Olam HaElyonim. That is what the Rebbein Hashem is going to say. Hey, these people are Olam HaElyonim, the people, so they deserve the brachos of the Olam HaElyon. But they're not in a position to be nene from those brachos, because they're Olam HaBotika kind of zachen, and they're still in Olam HaZeh. So what am I going to do? Oh, the Talmud says, Uvolecho kol habrochos ha'ilu v'hesigucho. They're going to chase you, and they're going to catch up with you. These brachos nebuchos mokheim is in the Olam HaBo, but they come chasing after us. Yidin, yidin, yidin. You're doing the rotzen of the Rebbeinu Shlalem. In Shemaya Tishma v'koil Hashem Elokecha. So you deserve brachos. Oh yeah, but we are up there in Olam HaBo. What are we going to do? Tell us this, you have to come and meet us. You have to become Olam HaBo Dike Yidin in Olam HaZeh. And after you get your brachos, which are Olam HaBo Dike brachos, in the Levosh of Olam HaZeh. V'hisigucha. It's my Rendezvous. So, I would strongly recommend that if you have a chance, you look at this Sas Emes, because I really think it's, that, you know, it see what you see in these. So I'm not a bokeh in Hasidic Islam at all, but I do occasionally look in the Sas Emes, what I understand. But this is like, you see the diuk in the shyness of the Chumash. Did anybody ever notice this? Son Hashem Elokecha Elyon Al Kol Goyei Ha'aretz Ubo. Yeah, in Kuptach Oyster, the Ubo is the Tetzor of the Elyon. You have to become an Elyon. How do you do that? By being Shomer Tishmer Kala Shomer Kecha. And if you're an Elyon, Vehisigucho, this Vehisigucho. I'm so old, Ken, I know, Baruch Hashem, Rabban Hashem gave me a Richos Yom. But I never wondered, what does Vehisigucho mean? What does it mean? They're chasing, it's a game of chasing. So Zogdus says, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a game of chasing. Because the brachos are out there in Olam Haba, so what are we going to do? We need this yin, we have to go and make them be nene from these brachos. Let's be ma'ayin a little bit. What that means. What does it mean? Now, with a hagdama, I have no idea what it means. I mean, now, you know, when the Sasana says that it's an oilum de iskasya, and that's really where these brachos germinate, whatever it is. Yeah, well, what do I know what it means? But yeah, there are aspects which in this particular case, you'll see in a moment, I really think that Rashi is megalit to us. Well, I can't say that I hold that Rashi was mechaven to the Sfas Emes. The derech of Rashi in his Perush and Chumash. I mean, there are differences between the way he approached the psukim and the Sfas Emes approaches the psukim. For example, I did check and I thought, no, does Rashi say something on the Hisigucho? No, it doesn't say. So, I saw that Rashi wasn't bothered by that. Weisernish. I think that to understand well what the Sfas Emes is saying, we can use a Rashi dafke in Bereshis. So some of you may have seen the book which I wrote about Rashi, for Rashi's thoughtful students about a year ago. So we dealt with this Rashi also. Myself in the Sefer book, whatever you want to call it, I dealt with the first 11 psukim in Bereshis, how Rashi deals with those psukim. And one of the puzzles which it is puzzling, is especially the kesher and the difference between the second day and the third day. We all know that on Tuesday, on the third day of creation, so Huchfal by Kitayv. So, well, let's have a look, Tucker, what it says in the Psukim, just to understand a little bit the background to what I want to say. So after the Yom Echad, so it says, Yom Elokim, this is the second day now. Yom Elokim Yehi Rokia B'Soich HaMoyim V'Yimavdil Ben Maim L'Moyim V'Yaz Elokim Esa Rokia V'Yavdil Ben Amayim Asher Mitachas Rokia Ben Amayim Asher Mi'ala Rokia V'Yehi Chen V'Yikro Elokim L'Rokia Shomayim V'Yere V'Yivar K'Yom Sheni. So the Yom Sheni is taken up with the creation of the Rokia. He made the Rokia. Again, that's what it says, no? It says V'Yaz, yeah. V'Yaz Elokim Esa Rokia Vayavdel ben hamayim asher mitachas l'rokia ben hamayim asher me'al l'rokia vayichen. Okay, and then vayich v'lokim l'rokia shamayim. Now, what does it really mean? So Rashi says, and what does it mean vayas? So Rashi says, let me find it. Yehi rokia. So Rashi says, Yechazei korokia she'af al pi shenivru shomayim biyom rishon adayin lachim hoyo v'koshu b'sheni migaras ha-kodesh baruch hu v'omro yehi rokia. Very, very strange. It says in the post of Ayaz is a rokia, he made the rokia. But Rashi has a problem, because a minute later we're going to learn that the Rebbein Shom called the rokia shomayim. So you see that the Rokia is the Shomayim, and that already appears on the first day. Bereshis bo Elokim es haShomayim v'Esaretz. So we already have a Shomayim. So what does it mean? Vayas Elokim es haRokia. The Rokia is the Shomayim, and the Shomayim already exists. So Teretz is Vayas means Yechazek. He says that on the first day it's true that the Rokia already existed. But it was lach, whatever lach means. Yeah, it was soft. Let's say it was a soft break at whatever place it was. And now on the second day, the Ribbono Shalom hardened it. And then he said, this is the Shamayim, the Yikra Lakim, the Rokia Shamayim. This new Rokia, this new hardened Rokia is the Shamayim. We can't solve all the problems in the world, but what does the Yid have to ask over here? I mean, so what's the business over here? Does the Ribbono Shel Olam want it soft, or does he want it hard? If he wants it soft, so why did he make it hard on the second day? Does he want it hard? Why didn't he make it hard in the first place? Well, the Ribbono Shel Olam can't make a hard rokia. And what's the difference between a soft rokia and a hard rokia? What's going on over here? Second of all, what does it mean, vayas? What did Rashi teach us? Rashi taught us that vayas means yehi. Yeah? He's hardening it. Nochamal, let's just see the lotion again. Yehi rokia, that's what the pasuk says. So he says the chazek rokia. Yeah. So what does yehi mean? So yehi by yom elokim yehi oyer. What does it mean yehi oyer? He created the light. So yehi sounds like he created, no? So, but he didn't create the Shemayim, existed already. He only changed it from soft to hard. So why is that called a creation? The kids, what I think is going on over here, what does it mean it was soft or it was hard? So it was soft or it was hard, as far as I can understand, means that, I think, I don't know anything about there is talk of Olamos. I've seen it in Sforim sometimes, that there's many Olamos, and each one is mashpia on the one below it, and is mushpa by the one above it, whatever these things are. So you have, let's say, a million Olamos. I don't know how many there. So now you have a bunch of creating another Olam. Now that other Olam is physical. It's a physical Olam. So the issue is, can that be part of that grouping? Can that all those other Olamas are Ruchnistika things? Now we have a physical thing. So now it becomes a very big issue. Can it fit into that group? So originally the Ribbono Shel Olam made it soft, meaning that there was access from this physical world to the higher world above it. So it was a soft border, a porous border, they would say today. You could get through. Ultimately, the Ribbono Shel Olam said on the second day, yeah, but that was only for one day. Lemaise, it's got to be hard that there is no access. Does that happen? The answer is yes. You see that the Ribbono Shel Olam creates things in an ideal way, even though he knows that it can't remain that way, because in the limitations of a created physical world, this is not going to work. So why create it first? To put the potential there. Moshe Lemoadoive, the creation of the Isha, right? First, it was like the Tzela of Odom HaRishon, that he was an androgynous being who contained in himself both the elements of male and female. That's the way he would have been able to have children. And that's the way Ribbono Shel Olam created it. Then Ribbono Shel Olam says on this, later on, Loi Toivei Yoseh Odom Levado, it's a connector, we're going to make it separate. So why did you make it together? Oh, so Ribbono Shel Olam said, first they were made as one person, androgynous, so that they should help each other and love each other, that they should be mamish one bria. Oh, but in our physical world, that's not the best way. I don't know exactly why it's Loi Toivei Yoseh Odom Levado. I always told myself the reason is, how are you going to be mechanech children if the only parent is an androgynous? Yeah, that is both male and female. They don't see the love of two people together. They don't see the cooperation. They don't see the caring. It's better that they should be separate. But what we want is that Zion dig separate, they should still be as loving and caring of each other as they were when they were together, because that was I. So that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam does it. So I think that the same Yesod would be over here. That the Rebbe is saying like this, for purposes which will become clear a little bit, yeah, the best thing is to have in this physical world a hard rock here, meaning that the access of the physical world to the world above it, to the Olamos above it, should be very, very difficult. You have to crash through a barrier. So why did he first create it soft? Why did he first create it such that it did not deny access? So the answer is because that's the ideal state. That's the Gan's Torah. That's what we want. We want to create from the physical. We want to sublimate the physical. You know what I noticed this week? It's an unbelievable thing. At least for me, it was Mayodik Chiddush. But I don't want to get bogged down with this over here at this moment. But I just mention it because it's a Mayodik Yedir. I was learning the sugya in Shabbos. You know, when Shlomo HaMelech wanted to bring the Orion into the Beis HaMikdash, and the gates didn't want to open. So Chazal Tashin is Chav Dalet, Dobinus Mizmer, Hashem Oratzim Loya. So, Surashorim Roshechem, Vinosuf Yisraelam, Vyobah Melech HaKovet. So throughout this passage, he's called Melech HaKovet. Mize Melech HaKovet. Then again, Surashorim Roshechem, Surup Yisraelam, Mihuze Melech HaKovet. Yobah Melech HaKovet. Yeah, it's four times. So I looked in my concordance, where else is the Rebbein Shem called Melech HaKovod? You know where else? Nobody. Nowhere. In the whole of Tanakh, unless I made a mistake, but I couldn't find on my search program any other Melech HaKovod except over here. Why is this sugya the place where you want Melech HaKovod? What does Melech HaKovod mean? The Teretz is, I think, that the Radak in the Sefer Shroshim says that Kovod means, one of the meanings of Kovod is Neshama. L'man yizamecho Kovod v'lo yidam. He brings 4 or 5 Mesholim from Tanakh where the word Kovod is used obviously as Neshama. And he says that why is the Neshama called Kovod? Because the Neshama is mechabed the guf. The guf by itself is a purely physical entity, so there's nothing mechabed about it, it's just an animal. What is mechabeded? What gives it a standing above the animal world? What gives it a standing above the animal world is the neshama. So that's why the neshama is called kovod. So that is why when we're talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam as belonging inside the Beis HaMikdash, that's why he's called Melech HaKovod. Why? Because he's the Melech of the Neshama. What is the product that the Beis HaMikdash manufactures? If you look at the Beis HaMikdash as a factory, what is made over there? What is made over there is sublimation. You take animals and you make them into korbanos. You take physicality and you make it into kedusha. That is the Ribbono Shel Olam's job. The Yovah Melech HaKovod. Let the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is the Kovod of the Olam, of this physical world. So he's Ke'ilu Kaviyochel the Neshama of this world, meaning that where is the Kovod of this world? It's a beautiful world, it's a wonderful world in many ways. I guess in all ways, really. But it's physical. The Teretz is, it can be converted. Can be converted. If it's kesher to the Ribbono Shel Olam, is strong and healthy and firm, so then this can become a holy world. You have Yerushalayim, you have Eretz Yisrael, you have Yerushalayim, you have the Bahar Abayis, you have the Azoras, you have the Kodesh Kodoshim. It's amenable to Kedushim. And for that you have to go to the end of Yecheskel to see the potentials of our Nebuchadnezzar physical world. And we can see over there that it's not so nevach. It's not so nevach. That's why it's called Melech HaKovod. So that's what we are, from this sugya, you see that the Ribbono Shel Olam, that the Shlomo HaMelech was arguing, you have to let the Ribbono Shel Olam in. No, so, we know the story, that in the end, it still didn't open the doors until he came along and he said that he asked in the sus of David HaMelech. David HaMelech brought it in. What is David HaMelech? The Emma says, what is David HaMelech's function? No, you know the Chazal, that David HaMelech was not supposed to be given life. So the Adam Rishon saw that David HaMelech wasn't going to have any life, so he said, okay, I'll donate 70 years for my life, and those are the 70 years that David HaMelech lived, and Adam Rishon only lived 930 years. Well, what's the pshat in that Chazal? Who knows what the pshat is in that Chazal? I don't know. But I was taught, I think, that the pshat is like this, that David HaMelech, the David HaMelech's function was to teach tshuva, which means to teach sublimation, to take something which became dirty and which became useless and which became ugly, and to sublimate it, to bring it back to what it was supposed to do. That was really his avodah. So if Adam HaRishon had not been chayter by the Eitz HaDaas, so you wouldn't have needed David HaMelech. Who needs tshuva? Tells us that Adam HaRishon created David HaMelech. He created the need for David HaMelech. He created the need for David HaMelech because chayt came into this world. And if the chayt is there, so you need teshuva. And if you need tshuva, you need David HaMelech. You need Sefer Tehillim. Whatever it is that you need. That's what's going on. Yoba Melech HaKovet. So let's get back to the Chumash. So now what we've learned is that for the world to fill the purpose, for a physical world to fill the purpose which the Rabban Shem has in mind for it, so an easy access to the Olam HaSel Yoinem would have not been effective. If you can just walk over, so you haven't gained anything, you haven't grown. The Torah says the Rebbeinu Shem hardened the Rokia. No access. You want to get there, you've got to crash through a wall. You have to crash through a wall. It's going to be hard to get there. But once you've gotten there, everything is worthwhile. So that's the creation of the second day. Yehi Rokia is Yechazik Rokia. That is a creation. You see, because before the Rebbeinu Shem had hardened the Rokia, so then that Rokia was as much of an Olam as all the other Olamas. There wasn't any Chiddush here, because the physicality was of a range which was no stereo to being part of the others. And that is the ideal. Just the ideal is that man and woman should be one. That's the ideal, but in practice you have to have them too. So here too, the ideal is that the physical world should be a natural part of the group of Olamos, but you have to make it, and in order to make it, it has to be difficult. So you have to harden the Rokia. That's why Yehi Rokia is like a creation. It's a whole big story. But that is the Etzem, what was going on over there. So it's very interesting. So Rashi says, the Pasuk says, ויום אלוקים יהי רוקיע בשר חמיים ויהי מבדל בין מים למים ויעש אלוקים את הרוקיע ויבדל בין המים אשר מתחס לרוקיע ובין המים אשר מעל לרוקיע ויהי כן. So Rashi stells it on the מעל לרוקיע. What does it mean מעל? It's said by the מים which was down here, mitacha, so there it should say, yeah, whatever the opposite of that is. So, one second. Zot Rashi, me'al l'rokia, al l'rokia, lo'y ne'ma, elo me'al l'rokia, l'fi she'en tluyen ba'avir. Oh, because they're tluyen ba'avir. The water, which is ma'im hol yoinem, they're tluyen ba'avir. They're not sitting on the rokia. But the Rokia was like a floor, whatever, you know, we can't really know what these things mean. And it was suspended in nothingness. So when I was writing that book about Rashi, I was asking myself, there's so many Chazal which have to do with this the 6 days of creation. None of them Rashi brings. For example, yeah, you want to learn Pshat in Chumash. So tell us a little bit, what are these Mayim Ha'Elyonim? What are they supposed to be doing up there? Who needs the water up there? Yeah, the Rokia was there, to be Mavdil ben, the Mayim which is beneath the Rokia and the Mayim which is above the Rokia. Okay, yeah? What do you need Mayim above the Rokia for? Yeah? That Rashi doesn't explain. But he has to tell me, oh, but that water, don't ask me what it was there for, that's my separations and I'm not going to be Megalet. Mishnah in Chagiga. But I'll tell you something, it floated. If you're not going to be Megalet, so why do you choose that? You tell me, not what it is, I have no idea what it is, but you tell me this little prat that it was extended in the air, and it didn't rest on the Rokia. So what's going on? Well, what is it supposed to mean? What is it taka supposed to mean? I think that's we're getting back now to the Sfas Emes. I think what it's supposed to mean is, what does it mean that it floated? What does it mean that it floated? It means that there was no gravity. Vast water doesn't float because there happens to be a force of gravity. So in the Elyonim, there is no gravity, and therefore the water can float. What does that mean? It means there's no attraction. The earth does not exercise an attraction up there. That's what it means. That's what Rashi is telling us. You know what Lemaila Rokia means? It means being in a place, in a situation, I don't know what this is. But what is it? It's that it's not attracted to the physical. There's no more attraction. Water, which the Maral takes us, is the quintessential Chaimer. It's Mr. Gashmias. Once it's above the Rokia, not only is it not Mr. Gashmias, but it doesn't even feel an attraction to that. It can float. Floating water. Floating water is the symbol of what it means to be an Erech Hayit. That means that you have some physicality in some form or another, but you're not attracted. Gravity has no power over you. Teretz is, so that is what the Sfas Emes is saying, that brochus come into being in that world of the Elyonim, in the world of the Elyonim where there's no attraction to Olam Hazeh. And that's really what the pasuk is saying over there. Where's my chumash? Oh, I've closed my chumash already. But it says that after the walls and the clothes, it says, so you're going to do what Hashem said. What says is going to bring you this bracha, this bracha, this bracha, this bracha, v'hisigucha. The Torah says it's v'hisigucha. It doesn't belong where we are now, because we are now in a physical world where we are attracted to the physical world. But the brachas chase us. They chase us v'hisigucha. They chase us v'hisigucha. They're going to come. Because if we live in this world as closely as we can to floating water, we can never be floating water. He is physical. But it's shayach. There can be a yachas, and the source of those brachas, which ultimately the Torah tells us, although when the Leviim expressed it, it finds no place in the Torah, because there they're talking at the Olam Habotika level. So they are formed in an atmosphere which is not an atmosphere, which is nothing. Nothing physical. And not only nothing physical, even gravity isn't there. There's not even attraction to the physical. That is where the source of brachas is, and that is where brachas can filter down to us if we have convinced the Ribbono Shel Olam and the brachas, v'hisigucha, they're chasing after us, that we can take it. It's a Mayudik Shekel Pasha. To wish everybody good Shabbos, and Yitzhak Hashem, next week we'll continue. Kol Tov.